This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back. If you've just joined us, it's the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with me, Juliet Jacobs, T. Xiao Eek and Shamla Gunnison. And we are asking you over on social media,
what is the most stressful part of parenting? So most of you are still saying it's having to juggle work and family. Totally understandable. Coming in after that, 24% say having to nurture good values in children is stressful. After that, 21% say the cost of raising kids is stressful. Amen to that. And coming in last is having to keep children safe. And all that, you and I, Juliet, we know all of that's weighing on our minds as parents every day, and many other issues as well. So keep those thoughts coming. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or call us at 03-7733-2900. And one of the things that I think we think about a lot is health issues as well. And so speaking of health, beneficiaries of the My Salam Protection Scheme can start making their claims today, the 1st of March. But are the target group aware of the conditions and exclusion criteria that were just revealed this week? So My Salam was first announced last year as part of Budget 2019 as the government's new national health insurance scheme, officially kicked off in January of this year. So the country has been talking about some sort of social health insurance for many, many years. But this is the first time something has actually gotten off the ground. And earlier this week, Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng and Health Minister Datuk Sri Dr. Zulkifli Ahmad launched the My Salam official website. And with that, more conditions in the scheme were revealed.
So what remains unchanged is the payout itself. It's an 8,000 ringgit one-off or lump sum payment for those diagnosed with any one of 36 critical illnesses. On top of that, recipients will also get 50 ringgit a day if they seek treatment at any government hospital for a maximum of 14 days a year, or the equivalent to 700 ringgit annually. This is more of an income replacement scheme rather than, a health or medical insurance.
And we also know that the scheme is targeted at the B40 group. However, while it's touted to benefit some 3.69 million people nationwide over the five-year coverage period, this exclusion criteria, I think, makes it a little less likely because eligibility for those aged between 18 and 55 years, and also including their spouses. And it's also for those diagnosed with one of the 36 critical illness from the 1st of January 2019 will be eligible. So the Malay Mail Online quoted the Malaysian Medical Association President, Dr. Muhammad Namazi Ibrahim, as saying that this means the scheme will really only benefit about 50,000 people annually diagnosed with one of the critical illnesses.
So, you know, who will be left out then after you take into account all these criteria? So like you said, Juliet, those with pre-existing conditions actually are not eligible. That means they were diagnosed before the 1st of January this year. And that leaves out a lot of people.
Yeah.
I mean, if you were diagnosed on 31st of December, you know, where does that leave you?
So to be clear, that means the diagnosis has to have been made before.
The diagnosis by a doctor.
Right.
The diagnosis of only on 1st January or thereafter. If you've been diagnosed after.
Those who are diagnosed after are excluded.
Am
I getting really? See, I'm so confused by this. I've read this so many times.
Yeah, I understand. Only those who were diagnosed on 1st January or any time after that will be eligible to make the claim from My Salam. If you were diagnosed any time before 1st January 2019, you are not eligible. Those above the age of 55, actually, if you think about it, form the most significant proportion of people living with these critical illnesses. Yeah. Cancer, heart disease, Alzheimer's. They will most likely be in the 60s, 70s age group.
Exactly.
And there are many diseases that are not under these 36 critical as well. The surprising ones are those that contribute to our national burden of diseases, such as diabetes, mental health issues like depression. So earlier I spoke to Dr. Jayakumar Devaraj, a Central Committee member of Parti Socialist Malaysia, to try and understand more about the implications of these conditions on the high-risk population in the B40 group. So I asked him what were his concerns with the scheme as it currently stands.
My immediate concerns is that we are being taken for a ride. You know, because it was supposed to be 2 billion given to us, to the government, by Great Eastern to avoid giving the 30% shareholdings to Malaysian institutions. So that 2 billion then, we understand, is going to get into 400 million allocations paid yearly to Great Eastern to provide that health coverage, 400 million per year, you know, as payments for the insurance cover. But now with the exclusion criteria, and then if you look at their website, for example, bacterial meningitis, they talk of permanent inability to perform ADL, activities of daily living. Like, for example, if a person can't feed himself, you know. So let's say we get, you know, bacterial encephalitis. The other one is, number 13 is encephalitis. Mm-hmm. Another one is head trauma, number 24. Number 30 is Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. All these, even if you get a diagnosis in that year, they may not have a permanent inability to perform ADL. Maybe they can still feed themselves, you know, but they can't go out and work. Mm-hmm. You know, they can be quite incapacitated. But ADL is actually quite minimal if you can, you know, feed yourself, if you can move around the house a bit, mm-hmm. then you're considered as you're okay for as far as ADL goes. Mm. So they're excluded. And a thing like, say, Parkinson's, for example, it'll take years between diagnosis and coming to the stage where you cannot do ADL. Mm. So Parkinson's actually is effectively removed because by the time the Parkinson's reaches the level it can't do ADL, it'll be a few years down the line, maybe 10 years down the line, and say, oh, that's a pre-existing condition. So all these things will enable Great Eastern to avoid payments, saying, no, you don't reach the qualifications, you know, the criteria.
So I also checked in with Azrul Mohamad Khalib, CEO of Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy, about the exclusion of Ministry of Education hospitals from the list of approved hospitals.
Well, Ministry of Education hospitals such as the hospital in USM, Kubang Krian, University Malaya here in Petaling Jaya, and the different hospitals scattered around the country that are under the Ministry of Education play a significant role in being community health centres in the absence of a major Ministry of Health presence. So they basically substitute for the Ministry of Health in those locations where there isn't a major hospital like GH or Penang Hospital and so forth. So excluding them could also mean excluding the communities that depend on them. Of course, this could very well be a bureaucratic issue and needs to be something that's worked out by the Ministry of Finance, Ministry of Health and Ministry of Education, but I think this is something that should not happen.
Azrul also mentioned that the 8,000 ringgit payout, which is meant as income replacement, is inadequate.
I would like to point out that industry standard for critical illness insurance scheme states that a person should have at the very least 2.5 years worth of their annual salary in order for income replacement scheme to be of benefit for the person. So if you're earning 1,500 ringgit a month, which would translate to basically you being able to have at least 45,000 ringgit as a result of a payout from an insurance scheme, that is far more than what you would have right now with only 8,000 ringgit. So the amount of protection that's being provided under the My Salam scheme is extremely limited and arguably less useful in the long run to address critical illnesses as opposed to a proper industry standard critical illness insurance scheme.
And Azrul's other concern was related to the role of the private insurance provider.
Well, I think this is a very pertinent concern because with 3.6 million people being registered under this program, which is managed by Great Eastern Holdings, mm-hmm. it is a legitimate concern that basically they would have access to the data of all 3.6 million people. So this would include names, addresses, household, income, contact details, even medical conditions. So the question would then be, how would this be prevented from being utilized commercially or exploited from a marketing perspective? This does not mean that they automatically become customers of Great Eastern Holdings. It would basically mean that there is a potential for Great Eastern to be able to promote their products directly to 3.6 million potential customers without having to compete on the insurance market. So So even if you just take the possibility of 10% out of 3.6 million people actually ending up with an insurance package and they prefer to use Great Eastern, that is still 360,000 new customers. So I would ask the question of whether the B40 are being deprived of the ability to choose when they are being included in this scheme.
And finally, back to Dr. Jayakumar again. He did not mince his words when I asked him about where he sees this My Salam scheme going and how we can really ensure universal health coverage for all Malaysians.
I would like to ask the Ministry of Finance, have they actually done an actuarial study?
Mm.
You know, given all this fine print that Great Eastern is introducing, what is the estimated payout per year under the scheme? So we are paying $400 million per year to Great Eastern.
Yes.
But what amount is Great Eastern going to pay out for the 36 illnesses in the course of a year based on our estimation, on the ministry's estimation of the number of such cases, how many of them would reach the criteria set by Great Eastern, you know, permanent losses, ADL, the specified severity. You do all that. Are you going to be paying, is Great Eastern going to be paying out maybe $100 million in the course of a year?
Mm.
Or is it going to be up as $400 million? If not, we are paying $400 million and the net benefit to the Malaysian public is $100 million, then you're making a whole joke of this $2 billion. It's basically, if you ask me, it's a sweetheart deal with Great Eastern. You see, if the 30% of Great Eastern shares, we follow through with that and then make sure it goes to organizations like Perkeso, KWSP, the pension fund and all that, then the income stream from that 30%, yeah, which will grow over time, would go to institutions already providing a welfare safety net
yep,
for the Malaysian population. You strengthen the existing government-run safety net, which is not for profit.
Without any limitations.
Without any limitations. And then you can carry on, you know, and then the 30% will keep going. That is based on a social insurance where, you know, it is not per individual. You know, you pool resources and you have... So that would make much more sense. I think it's a bad decision for Malaysia. And the cabinet can still come in before they actually make the first payout. You know, we should stop it and say, let's put a moratorium, let's study it, and necessarily revise the whole thing.
So those were the concerns highlighted by Dr. Jayakumar Devaraj, Central Committee Member of Parti Socialist Malaysia, and Azrul Mohamad Khalib, CEO of Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy.
So the Malaysian Medical Association President, Dr. Namazi, also told Malay Mail Online that a better healthcare financing system should be one based on single-payer, not-for-profit, government-run, national health insurance that covers everyone.
That was a long one. And, you know, really, because today is the first day that beneficiaries will start filing their claims for My Salam. I think this is going forward, we will see more problems and concerns arising.
That's right.
So it's an ongoing issue that we need to monitor.
So if you would like to learn more about social health insurance, our Health and Living segment covered it extensively with Prof. Datuk Dr. Syed Mohamad Al-Junid, a professor of health economics. You can look up the podcast by searching for social health insurance on our website or on the BFM app.
Yep. So I think we're going to hear a lot more about My Salam, and I think a lot of gripes are going to end. Grouses are going to come up, but I guess
teething
we'll
problems and all that,
of course,
I'm sure,
of course,
well.
You know, and fraud, I don't know, might come into the picture.
Yes, of course.
You know, I mean,
transparency, accountability.
Yes.
So we'll keep, you know, we'll keep up with that and we'll keep you updated, of course, you know, as and when bulletins warrant. But for now, we're going to go back and check our on our social media question.
Yeah, so this was related to our first story about parenting. What do you think is most stressful about being a parent? 38% say juggling work and family. Equally, 22% say the cost of raising kids and also nurturing good values. For 19% of you, keeping children safe is stressful. And Chiang on WhatsApp said, the most stressful part of parenting is getting the kid to eat.
Fully agree.
Yes. Nobody thinks about that, right?
Yeah. And it's a daily struggle.
Yeah. And he says, also thinking about her education, cost and quality of education institutions is a balance that is hard to get right.
Yeah, very, very difficult. I think that's causing a lot of my gray hair and a lot of sleepless
nights. I thought you were going to say migraines, which is right as well.
That too. There's a whole, you know, unpleasant mixture of things going on. But, you know, do keep that conversation going. You can always tweet us at BFM Radio. You can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. Or, you know, you can follow us, the Bigger Picture team, on our FB page. Just search for BFM The Bigger Picture. That's all we have for today. If you miss any part of the show, you can always download the podcast or at bfm.my, on our BFM app, or even on Spotify. Coming up at 3 p.m. is Live and Learn with Sharmila, who will be speaking to sociologist Professor Syed Farid Al-Attas about the use of the Malay language in the academic world, or I think more accurately, the lack thereof of
it. That's right, yes.
Yeah, all right, yeah. That should be a very interesting conversation. That's coming up after the news. And to take us out is some music. Here's I Need a Dollar by Aloe Black.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.